Christian service by those who contend that when Jesus came into this world, that he abdicated, that he gave up the rights and privileges and all the powers that go along with Godhood, so that he could fully be a man and die only as a man for us. Now, he died as a man for us, but I want to tell you, passages we've shown indicate that he was more than man. He was God with us while he was here. Now, I want you to look at Philippians 2 with me. Paul, in this context, it's important for us to keep this in context. Paul, in this context, is dealing with relationships among Christians and how they ought to treat each other. He talks about humility and how they ought not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. And to illustrate that and to drive that point home, he uses the classic example, the example of Jesus and his humility in coming to this earth. Let's read in verse 5. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What mind was in him? What was his attitude? "Who being in the form of God." All right, now let's put that down. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." That is, he did not seize that. He did not cling to the form of God which he had. He was here in the form that divinity possessed before Jesus came into this world. But he said, being in the form of God, he did not think it robbery to be equal with God. They're on a par. But made himself, it's voluntary, made himself of no reputation. Other translations say he emptied himself. And took upon himself, let's just put the word empty here. He emptied himself. Notice himself. He doesn't say that he emptied himself of this attribute and this quality and that power. It's not a list of things that he emptied. He emptied himself. And took upon himself the form of a servant. Well, that's the same thing John 1:14 said. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Prior to his coming to this earth, he was in the form of God. He didn't have he wasn't in the flesh. He didn't dwell in the flesh. But then he emptied himself. It was a voluntary thing. For our benefit, for our good. He emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, by taking upon himself the form of a servant. When he came into the world, he came in the fashion of a man. He took the same kind of a form we have. His fleshly body was subject to hunger and thirst. He got tired and weary. He wept sometimes. I'm sure he laughed at times. And so, in this form of a servant, he was privy to all of the attributes and characteristics that are typical of manhood. Now, the question of essence is, while he was in the form of a servant here, had he abdicated every quality, every attribute, every property that made him divine? No, not from these other passages we've noticed. But the humility of the passage, the mind of Christ, is simply to show us the willingness of Christ to humble himself for our benefit. And then he goes on to say in the passage, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So there's the humiliation of Christ, as it's presented in that passage. So, emptied himself in the context has to do with the humility of Christ to provide a perfect example for us. It does not teach that when Jesus came into this world that he abdicated or gave up the I am. He was a part of Godhood, Godhead. And if he gave up that for a time, then we had a period of time when we didn't have but two members of the Godhead. First public debate I ever had was with a oneness Pentecostal. He just thought there's one person in the Godhead, and Jesus was the only person in the Godhead. That's what he contended. And we call that the oneness position. Well, if when Jesus came into this world, if he gave up the things that made him a part of the Godhead, or the Godhood, then while Jesus was on earth, we only had two members of the Godhead. And why wouldn't that be the two-ness doctrine? We have a oneness doctrine, that makes a two-ness doctrine, doesn't it? We just have two members of the Godhead. No, that's not what the Bible teaches about that. Jesus was man, but he was also God while he was here in the flesh. And he demonstrated those attributes and qualities so that people could know who he was. He claimed to be the Son of God with power. Not only that, but he said, I came down from God. Back in the Gospel of John, I came down from God. Furthermore, he said, I know God. And when he said, I know God, he used a term which means to know everything about God there was to know about. It means full and complete knowledge about God. Nobody else could say that but him. He said, I know him. I have full knowledge about him. It's not a growing knowledge. He talked to them about that. He said, you don't know God. And there he used a word that meant that you don't even have a growing, expanding knowledge about God. But he said, I know him. And there he changed and used a different word, which means full and complete knowledge about him. He said, I know everything about God there is to know about God. And I can't say that, can you? Do you know anybody else that can? My friends, I recommend to you Jesus Christ, my Lord, the Son of Man, but also the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. Josh McDowell has a chapter in his book about Christ entitled Liar, Lunatic, or Lord. Take your choice. Jesus either lied when he said, I came down from God and I know everything about him, and I am. If you don't believe that I am, you're going to die in your sins. He either lied when he said all of that, or else maybe he was crazy, just a lunatic, demented. Or else he was what he said he was, and who he said he was. He was Lord of all. And that's what I believe about him. I believe the evidence is compelling that the Jesus of Nazareth was not only the Son of Man, but that while he was here, he was the Son of God. That he was God with us. You know, the best evidence of all, I did a debate in Louisville a few years ago between a gospel preacher and an atheist. And the only argument that Brother Phil Roberts defended the existence of God, the only argument he made was the historical Jesus. How do you know there's a God? His argument was, I know there's a God because Jesus came, and while he was here, he demonstrated the properties, the qualities, and the attributes of God among men and left a historical record of it. And the atheist never dealt with it. He never acknowledged the argument was even made. It's an argument that's unanswerable. I submit to you, my friends, that Jesus was not a liar and he wasn't crazy. He was Lord of all, and I recommend to you that you make him the Lord of your life. Would you please get your hymn books now and turn to the song that's been announced. Now that you've found that, let me have your attention back for a moment. Before we sing this song, I want you to know why we're singing it. It's not just a matter of routine or formality with us. We're doing this as a sincere gesture on our part to encourage you. If you have not submitted your life to him as your Lord, to do it now, tonight. We've made provisions to help you do that. There's some things we can't do for you. We can't believe for you. That's something you have to take care of. We can't repent of sin for you. You'll have to do that. We can't confess for you that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You'll have to do that. We can't be baptized for you either. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. We can't be baptized for you, but we can help you to be baptized. We have a baptistry back here. There's water in it. There are garments that are prepared for anybody old enough to obey the Lord. We can help you do that. We can't do it for you, but we can help you with that. Brother Collier would be delighted tonight to take your confession of your faith in Christ and to bury you with Christ in baptism and raise you up to walk in the newness of life. If you need to make some public corrections before this congregation of people here, we also invite you to respond to Jesus as Lord and ruler of your life. Would you respond right now while we stand together and while we sing?